and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Deng Bior on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, July 6, 2020. A South Sudanese diplomat in the United States is caught with his pants down during an online panel discussion.
South Sudanese, that is your ambassador, Gordon Boy. Let us end the show. Thank you so much.
And two Sudanese traders are killed in Lake State.
The police immediately intervened, other security organs to the crime scene, and two victims were found laid down together with their money they were possessing.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Ambassador Gordon Boy was caught with his pants down, literally, over the weekend during the live video conference in which he and other panelists were discussing the appointment of a governor for Upper Nile State. The video went viral, not because of the content of the discussion, but because of Boy's behavior. The South Sudan deputy ambassador to the United States was seen peeing during the live panel discussion. The viral video, which shows Boy walking to the bathroom wearing nothing but a shirt, has sparked uproar on social media. Here are some excerpts from the discussion.
What I'm telling people is this, and your audience, okay? People should not believe in nonsense. The peace that we assign is working. The issue of Ulan will be resolved by presidency. There are people who don't even know the meaning of presidency. When you ask them what is presidency, they will not even define it. Presidency is IO, is SOA, is MDs, is IG, is four centuries of the agreement. This one is called presidency.
Social media users accused Boy of being intoxicated during the panel discussion, as he was shouting at other panelists in an effort to make his point. South Sudan in Focus could not verify these allegations. The video of the discussion was removed from YouTube on Saturday afternoon, but a clip was shared widely well after the organizers removed the original video. Boy posted a message on his Facebook page urging people not to believe what he called a fake video.
You keep quiet. When you talk, I kept quiet. Everybody who attacked the government, I kept quiet. Until I was told by the majority to respond.
Now, Peter,
can you continue?
Just hold on.
Don't interrupt me.
In the panel discussion, Boy insisted that the allocation of the governor of Upper Nile State was resolved and that SPLMIO was asked to nominate a good candidate.
It took us 4 months on the issue of the LNE. And Upper Nile was given to SOA. Why was Upper Nile taken away from SOA and given to IO? Yes, the deal IO sacked without a discussion. The presidency met and they said, Victoria, we give you IO. But the candidate must be somebody to unify our people. Victoria, I believe I'm going to bring candidate with not Johnson Woolley. It can be Shuluk, it can be anybody from Shuluk, we don't mind. It can be a cow, even a cow. Cow. Who can unify the people of the Upper Nile? Bring it.
Last week, President Salva Kiir's spokesman, Atenua Katen, told the Juba-based iRadio that SPLMIO candidate for Upper Nile, Johnson Alonye, was not appointed because he was outside South Sudan. The weekend Facebook panel discussion sparked condemnation of Boy's behavior during the live panel discussion. Here's how the moderator of the Facebook panel ended the discussion.
Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate the time. And I thank you, our ambassador. South Sudanese, that is your ambassador, Gordon Boy. Let us end the show. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Ambassador Boy was among 43 diplomats who were recalled to Juba in February this year. In March, Ambassador Mayen Dut Wol wrote a letter canceling Boy's recall. A political analyst in South Sudan says South Sudan's deputy ambassador should be sent home and investigated immediately for his behavior caught on video. South Sudan in Focus made repeated unsuccessful attempts to reach officials in Washington, D.C. and Juba for comment. Lasuba Memo has more for VOA from Juba.
I anyway, thank you, gentlemen. And
Viva Gordon Boy! Viva Gordon Boy! Viva Gordon Boy!
While some of the panelists were shocked to see Deputy Ambassador Boy relieve himself on video, others burst into laughter. A Juba-based political analyst describes Boy's act of peeing while on video conference call as unprecedented. James O'Cook of the Center for Strategic Studies says Boy's behavior tarnishes the image of the country and called for immediate disciplinary action against the top diplomat.
It's a kind of behavior which is really in line with diplomatic etiquette has not happened anywhere in the history of international relations. So it is really very shameful, and it is tainting the image of South Sudan, and it shouldn't be taken lightly by the government in Juba.
During the debate over the governorship of Upper Nile State, some panelists expressed their opposition to President Salva Kiir's delay in appointing Johnson Oling as governor and urge him to stop interfering in the internal politics of the SPLM-IO. But Boy says Oling is a warmonger and will not unify communities in the region.
Pretending to defend the government while he's naked, and also trying to talk in a chaotic manner when he's drunk, and then going to toilet to urinate or pee, you know, without the switching off the camera of the phone that he was using, and coming back to defend himself, saying that there was nothing wrong in that conduct. So this is really very serious, and something must be done.
O'Cook, a one-time diplomat to Khartoum and Brazil, says a diplomat is supposed to be sensitive about their high-level position and how they present themselves to the public. He says diplomats are the first line of defense for any country, and therefore Boy's behavior should not be taken lightly.
I think some disciplinary measures must be taken, and then Ambassador Gordon Boy need to be recalled to Juba and investigated as to why he really decided to conduct himself in very unprofessional manner.
O'Cook says Ambassador Boy should be recalled to Juba immediately. For VOA News, I am Lesuba Memo in Juba.
Sudanese traders in the Lake State capital, Rumbek, are protesting the killing of two of their colleagues over the weekend. The Sudanese traders, who are from Darfur, say their shops will remain closed for the next 7 days to protest the killing of their colleagues. Unidentified gunmen killed the two traders on Saturday, 2 kilometers from Rumbek town. The chairperson of the Darfur business community is calling on the state government to bring the perpetrators to book. William Sunday Mabor reports from Rumbek.
Lake State Police spokesperson Captain Elijah Mabor Makwai says the two traders were traveling on a motorbike from Thona Dwell, the capital of Rumbek East County, to Rumbek, where they were ambushed at Liadir, just outside Rumbek town.
The police immediately intervened, other security organs to the crime scene, and two victims were found laid down together with their money they were possessing. And the criminal managed to escape with nothing. It was really a very tragic incident, which we felt very sorry for these brothers who has been killed innocently. Hopefully with the cooperation from the local citizens in the areas, we hope that they will help the security personnel to identify the perpetrators, and then they are brought into book.
Umar Harun, whose brother Harbaf Harun was killed and live with his brother in Rumbek, is demanding local authorities find the killers.
The death of my brother shocks me, and I don't have anything to say because God took away my brother from me. I pray for the government and all its forces to be strong and investigate what killed my brother. I need the government of Lakes State to show justice. I ask God to forgive my brothers in case he has wronged anyone. We are under the responsibility of the government. Let the government take care of us.
Abu Bakr Azim Adam, chairperson of the Darfur business community in Lakes State, is calling on the Lagos state authorities to arrest the killers.
The blood of our brother cannot just go in vain. The government must use necessary measures to apprehend the perpetrators, because if they do not do so, it may bring fear to the traders and they can leave this state.
It is not the first time Sudanese traders have lost their lives in Lagos state. In 2015, two traders were killed, and in 2016, another businessman was killed in Lagos state by a known gunman. Adam says unless security situation improves, many traders will leave the area. Hakim Awur Chiponyuch, acting chairperson of civil society organization in Lagos state, condemned the killings and called on the local authorities to apprehend the killers.
On behalf of civil society, we really condemned the barbaric act that has continuing within our communities, which has resulted to even killing of the foreign nationals who are delivering services that we cannot even deliver ourselves. The government needs to recognize that in one way or another, these people, they are actually part and parcel of our economic growth, because without them here, we will not even get taxes or revenues that are being collected to help government top up the payment and other things. So, and in the other hand, we are condemning also the government weak roles that could not even protect the lives of civilians.
Rumbek citizen Angelina Del Malwal says she was shocked to hear an unidentified gunman shot and killed two people near a government checkpoint.
I really feel bad. Every moment you hear someone is being killed by an unknown gunman. This issue of a known gunman in South Sudan, the government need actually to think about it and see who are these people that are not known, who always kill citizens, who always kill people on the roads, ambush people, attack them, and even looted the properties that the person is carrying.
Shops owned by Sudanese traders have remained closed in Rumbek since Saturday. For VOA News, I am William Sunday Mabur in Rumbek, Lake State.
The Sudanese transitional government has agreed to form a joint security force to carry out civilian disarmament in Jebel Mara. Authorities in Darfur say improving security in the area will help the local population to work on their farms during the rainy season. The Sudan government also agreed to establish a special court to try the perpetrators who allegedly committed atrocities against civilians recently. Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The Sudanese government sent a delegation to central Darfur state following last week's protests over the alleged human rights abuses by members of the Rapid Support Forces, a paramilitary group run by the government. The delegation, headed by the Sudanese Sovereign Council member Muhammad Hassan Ataishi, arrived in Nyatiti town of West Jebel Mara locality on Sunday to meet the protesters. Locals, including traditional leaders, traders, youth and women, have gathered for the past 9 days in front of the headquarters of West Jebel Mara locality, demanding improved security. The resistance committees across central Darfur say they have recorded more than 20 incidents of rape, arbitrary arrest and detentions, physical assault and looting carried out by members of the Rapid Support Forces and other militia groups that were allied to ousted President Omar al-Bashir. Locals say they cannot farm their land or graze their cattle outside of the town because they fear being targeted by the pro-government troops. The national government's delegation held a number of meetings with the community members and reached to a consensus to start a disarmament campaign in the area. Speaking in Arabic, Taha Osman, a member of the delegation, praised the level of the understanding expressed by the people of Nyatiti for peacefully demanding their rights.
All the demands that have been submitted are legitimate and shall be fulfilled soon. We also hope that we establish this culture of fighting for our civil rights using peaceful means.
Osman says the transitional government is working day and night to search for true peace in the country. He called on armed groups to join the peace process underway in Juba, saying Sudanese who have suffered so much deserve to enjoy some security and peace.
We are setting a unique example here in Nertete, where the voice of civil disobedience is heard instead of the sounds of guns. And we hope soon the peace process will be concluded, so that our brothers in the rebellion, led by Abdul Wahid and others, will join us so that peace can prevail and the goals of the Sudanese revolution achieved.
Umanas Daoud Abdullah, who represented women at the sit-in, says the protesters are pleased the government has promised to implement their demands. But she says protesters will remain vigilant. Speaking in Arabic from New York City town, Abdullah tells South Sudan in Focus the people of West Jebel Marra locality also expect incoming officials to cooperate with the local population.
Some of the demands will not be fulfilled right away according to what the government delegation told us. They said they will fulfill them in 2 weeks, but we will wait right here and continue our sitting until all the demands have been granted.
Abdullah says thousands of women in Nertete are eager to go back to their farms or graze cattle to earn living, but says that cannot be done without stability in the area.
If they fulfill our demands, we will immediately go back to our normal life without fear of the violation that used to be committed against us. We will also work with the new officials that will be appointed. But if this violation persists, we will come back here and protest again until they stop completely.
The transitional government is expected to find replacements for the 5 local security officials rejected by the area residents within 2 weeks. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. COVID-19 pandemic is hitting cities in the United States once again. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what would you most likely to accomplish in life, and how close are you to achieving it?
My dream is to be one of the best filmmakers in Uganda and maybe in the world at large. With time and what I've done so far to achieve that, yes, I know I'm still very far, but I've written some scripts already.
To me, as a software developer, I still have a long way, but hopefully, God, I'll be able to make it.
I want to be a voice for the people who I meet and help people generally wherever I find myself. And I think that studying to become a lawyer is in the right direction to achieving that.
I would like to be a very, very great musician, composer. For now, I'm not close there, but I'm working to get to the level I can actually achieve that.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The United States continues to experience dramatic increases in COVID-19 infection numbers. The U.S. state of Florida saw 11,458 new cases on July 4th, a single-day record. As VOA's Kane Farabaugh reports, mayors in cities dealing with crowded hospitals and exploding infection rates are raising the alarm about the lack of concern among the population to curb the spread of the coronavirus.
Pubs in Britain welcomed customers for the first time after months of lockdown due to the coronavirus. But in the U.S., the mayor of Phoenix in the state of Arizona says businesses in her city opened too early.
We had crowded nightclubs handing out free champagne, no masks. Our 20 to 44-year-olds, which is my own demographic, really led the explosion, and we've seen such growth in that area. We're seeing a lot of people go to large family gatherings and infect their family members. We are in a crisis related to testing.
Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, Florida, is also dealing with a surge of new COVID-19 cases in his city.
But there's no doubt that the fact that when we reopened, people started socializing as if the virus didn't exist.
The concerns come as the United States celebrated the July 4th Independence Day, which saw long lines of cars waiting to get to beaches in some areas and crowds gathering to watch fireworks in others, including the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where President Trump spoke, downplaying the threat of the coronavirus, which has killed nearly 130,000 Americans.
But now we have tested almost 40 million people. By so doing, we show cases, 99% of which are totally harmless.
The president also addressed the urgency of finding a vaccine.
We are unleashing our nation's scientific brilliance, and we'll likely have a therapeutic and/or vaccine solution long before the end of the year.
But the administrator of the Food and Drug Administration, Stephen Hahn, distanced his agency from that commitment.
I can't predict when a vaccine will be available, and I just want to tell you about FDA's role in this. Yes, we are seeing unprecedented speed for the development of a vaccine.
Hahn also emphasized measures that can curb the spread of the coronavirus before a vaccine is available.
This is a very rapidly moving epidemic, a rapidly moving pandemic, and any death, any case is tragic, and we want to do everything we can to prevent that. What I would say to the American people is follow the guidance of the CDC, follow the protocols of the local and state governments, wear a mask if you can't socially distance, or if the local procedure is to wear a mask at all times, socially distant, hand sanitation, and protect the vulnerable. That's how we're going to get out of this.
To date, the United States has recorded about 2.8 million cases of COVID-19 and is currently the country with the highest number of infections and deaths in the world. Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News.
The Association of Secondhand Clothes and Shoe Sellers in Kenya has asked the government to lift the ban on the importation of secondhand clothes, saying the suspension has contributed to massive job losses. The association, well known to Kenyans as the Mutiba Association of Kenya, is calling on President Uhuru Kenyatta to consider them during his State of the Nation address today, Monday, where he is expected to talk about the reopening of the economy. As Maureen Ojamba reports from Nairobi, some observers don't think President Kenyatta will reopen the economy, given the rising number of COVID-19 cases.
Kenya will only lift the ban on imports of second-hand clothes once the COVID-19 pandemic is contained in the country. This is according to the Cabinet Secretary, Industry, Trade and Cooperatives, Betty Maina, who said that second-hand clothes known in Kenya's Mitumba imports from countries facing COVID-19 pandemic are restricted. Mitumba Association of Kenya Chairperson Teresia Njenga has dismissed government allegations that importation of clothes from coronavirus hard-hit countries will bring more infections in the country.
The importation of second-hand garments and shoes into Kenya poses no credible public health risk. The goods are shipped for 45 days on average in sealed containers. The scientific research concludes that the COVID-19 virus cannot survive on an inanimate object for longer than 9 days. In the period since March, the World Health Organization has not recommended the prohibition of movement of goods or commodities as a measure to contain the spread of COVID-19.
Kenya imports the second-hand clothes from the US, China, and Europe, which are the most hit countries with the virus. Mrs. Njenga said that there is massive job loss as most of the people working in the sector are out of work since the government suspended the importation 3 months ago.
We represent a vital business sector that has significant economic impact, and particularly in the informal juakari sector. According to the estimates from from published surveys by Kenya National Bureau of Statistics, the Mitumba sector employs about 10% of the extended labor force, which translates to approximately 2 million people, both directly and indirectly as a source of livelihood.
Kenya has always contemplated on banning of second-hand clothes in the country as a way of boosting local textile firms. Another second-hand trader said that the cargo coming in the country cannot speed up the spread of COVID-19 compared to new clothes cargoes, of which most of them come into the country within 48 hours.
So most of these goods arrive in this country more healthy and of better health conditions than even the new products we purchase from in those countries. If I was to bring shirts, for example, just to give an example, if I was to bring a new shirt from China or from Turkey, these products are being handled by human beings. So it's a physical handling.
Second-hand clothes are common among Kenya's low-income earners who find them very affordable. Those whose businesses have been affected are looking forward to President Uhuru Kenyatta's State of the Nation address today, Monday, that might see some restrictions lifted. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi, Kenya.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Corona J by Kero Simon.
Corona, Corona Jacum virus, Corona, Corona Jacum virus, Corona, Corona Jacum, Castle Yeda, Gaimoy Savon, Castle Yeda, Epi Savon, Castle Yeda, Yatlanadis. Zundo bera zunda chikuru ni kukuli halame Gunbine, mininja gunbine Urshuta ningami, uli kunubi Iyambia yo, minikali gajia Gajia napale, minikali gajia Miandu kutamburo yo, kandu kali gajia Simple. Corona Jacum, Corona Jacum. Mabuka Kumu, put it together, we have a quite young at them. Ekumba, put it together, we are really cutting
We've been listening to Kero Simon with the song Corona J. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Thanks for joining us this evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for the coronavirus. Join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
corona ya papa ma basma. Uwele mama mama ma basma. Malu mama. Ejonubi malu yale sudanye. Yambiane yale yambiane sene.